I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. On the screens, if you can go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we're going to Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. And of course, you can feel free to use your iPad or whatever form of technology you have that has a Bible app. Go for that too. We're opening up all of those things to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. On the screens, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We started talking a couple of weeks ago about how our God, your Father, He is a rewarder. That there are certain actions that, according to the New Testament, when we take these actions, God rewards us for that decision. We said that anything we in this earth link a reward to, it's because we're trying to elicit, if you will, a certain type of behavior. If there are behaviors that aren't common, that you want to make common, a lot of times as parents or as an employer, you will tie a reward to a certain behavior in order to get people to take the behavior and make it a part of their life. God's the same way. There are certain actions that God has tied a reward to. And the reason why He has tied a reward to these actions is because they are very important. They're important to God in that these actions please Him. And they're also important to you because they are critical to your success in this life. Anything that God's linking your reward to is a behavior that needs to be a foundation in our Christian life. So we looked at the first reward a couple of weeks ago, and we saw Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and we saw in that scripture that God is a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek Him. When you make a decision to make Jesus the center of your life, there's that new song out now by Israel that it's just called Jesus Be the Center. And that's the absolute truth of what we're called to do as Christians. Jesus is to be our first priority. We're to seek the kingdom of God first. He didn't say seek it only, because He knew there would be other things that we'd have to spend our time on, we'd have to spend our affections on, those types of things. But He did say it is to be first. And so with seeking the Lord, that simply means I'm putting the Lord first place in my life. I'm putting His Word as a priority in my life. I'm putting His presence as a priority in my life. I'm putting church as a priority in my life. I'm seeking Him. I'm pursuing Him. And He says, when you do that, there is a reward that comes with that. We looked at it last week and saw not only does He reward those who diligently seek Him, but He also rewards those who give alms. And we said what alms are is when your heart is moved with compassion. You see someone or something and your heart wants to motivate you to action. We said when you take care of those people or those things that God has linked your heart to, there is a reward that comes with that. We're going to see in Matthew chapter 6 today that there are other rewards, and the one we're going to look at today is found in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, he talks about another subject, and he says this, "And when thou prayest," I love that, because he just assumes you will. He doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray. "And when thou prayest, don't pray this way. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their" what? They have their reward. He says, now, when you pray, and we'll stop right here. How many of you know if there's anyone we should listen to teach on the subject of prayer, it should be the Son of God? I mean, if there's anyone who knew how to pray, it was Jesus. And I'm thankful for all the great teachers of prayer that are out there and all the great books on prayer you can read. But if there's any person we should listen to teach on the subject of prayer, it should be the Master. It should be the Lord and Savior of our lives, Jesus Christ. And he says, make sure when you pray, you don't do this. And he said, what you're not to do is to act like a big shot in prayer. Well, you know that guy. You have that prayer service, and you got that guy next to you that when you join up hands with you, I mean, he's grabbing your hand and squeezing really hard. And I mean, he's sweating because he's praying so hard. And I mean, he's spitting every time he opens his mouth. And by the time you get your hand back and you have to pry it away from him, I mean, it's hurting and it's sore and you got to ice it. He said, don't be that guy. Who the only reason why you're praying is to impress other people with your prayers. Now, I know a lot of people in here would say that never happens to me, but think about how many people don't want to pray, like over dinner, because they're so mindful of the people who are around the table that they don't want them to think that they don't know how to pray. What Jesus is saying here is simply, when you're praying, don't be worried about what other people are thinking about you. Just pray to your Father. There's so many do's and don'ts that people teach on prayer, and I get the impression when reading Jesus that Jesus is just saying, look, just pray. Just pray. In fact, did you notice with his disciples, Jesus did not come alongside of them after they were praying and say, guys, you are doing this all wrong. You said this, and you really should have said this. And trust me, I know I'm the Son of God. I've heard you pray your entire life, even before I came to the earth. And you know, you said this, but really you should have put this that way. And you need to pray with a little bit more gumption there. And if you could just use King James English, I think that would cause your prayers to go a little bit further. No, Jesus never did that. The disciples one day saw him pray. And when they saw Jesus praying, they said, man, he's praying a little bit different than how we pray. And they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. So obviously he was praying better than them, but Jesus didn't come and stop them at some point in their prayer lives and say, hey, you need to change this or that. The most important thing you need to know about prayer is to just do it. You may not say everything right, you may not do everything right, but what Jesus is trying to get at here is don't be worried about what all these other people are thinking about you, just pray. And watch what he says here on how to pray in verse 6. But thou, when you prayest, once again, he's just assuming you will, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. I love that. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So here he's tying a reward to prayer, but not just any type of praying. Praying to where you're shutting away the rest of the world and just taking some time to just be alone with him. We'll come back to that. Keep reading in verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Notice Jesus is not emphasizing length of prayer here. You know, a lot of people think, man, if you're going to get any results in prayer, you got to pray all night. And there are times to pray all night, don't get me wrong, but Jesus is not emphasizing this. You know what's more important than an act of faith? A life of faith. An act of faith is where you got a need coming up in your life, and buddy, you make a decision, I'm going to get in faith. You know what's a lot better than that? Just living by faith. Just waking up every day and going after something with your faith. And you know what's better than an all-night prayer session? A life of prayer. where you just take time periodically to shut yourself away and lift up this person, lift up that person. And that's what Jesus is getting at. You don't make progress in prayer because you say all these words over and over again. You don't make progress in prayer because you're speaking or praying a whole lot. Notice he goes on here and says this in verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now notice this in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Not just pray this prayer, after this manner, after this likeness. And he says in verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How long did it take to read that? Not very long, right? You just read it here with me. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray something like this. Pray along these lines. How long did it take you to pray that prayer, to read that prayer? Maybe 30 seconds, even if you're emphasized, I mean, giving your best church speak. Hallowed be the... I mean, no matter how you say it, it's not like it took 30 minutes, right? What is Jesus getting at here? Don't put prayer in a box. It's not about impressing other people. It's not about all these other things. It's not about saying all these right words over and over again. He says, this is what I want in your prayer life. This is what the Father wants in your prayer life. And if you do this, He'll reward you. Not just with some spiritual reward. He'll reward you openly, where you and others can see God is blessing my life. He said, this is what I want. This is what I want when you pray. Go into some place and shut out the rest of the world. Where you're not thinking about what you got to do for dinner. You're not thinking about all the stuff you got to do at work. You're not thinking about all the other business you got going on. Go into a place and shut the door. What that simply means is just shut the world out. And in that place, just pray to your Father. Don't worry about all that you're going to say. Just pray to your Father. And your Father which seeth thee in secret, and He does see you every time you pray. The Father who sees you in secret, He will reward you openly. The more I think about this and the more I read this, number one, you just see how simple God really does make things and how complicated religion makes things. But with this, you see that God is linking a reward to a behavior that should already be common in our lives. There are things that my kids do that they don't get rewarded for because those things they do all the time. That's just the expectation of them in our house. But friends, I want to encourage you with this. The reason why God is linking a reward to something that should be so common is because it is so necessary. Why would God have to tie a reward to prayer? Because I think so many of us, we get so busy that we never really do this. We may pray in passing. We may pray at a dinner table. We may pray at church. We may pray during a prayer service. We may pray during all these public type settings. But I'm finding it that as our lives get busier and busier, one of the hardest things to give anyone is time. And it just seems as if a whole lot of people nowadays, and I'm sure it's like this all the time, but I think with technology and all this, it's getting much, much more interesting because even when you're alone, you're not really in secret because you got a phone buzzing and beeping and vibrating and all these other things. That Jesus is saying what the Father really wants from you is to just take the time to just be with Him. And for however long it is, when it's you with Him, He's all you're thinking about and He's all you're praying to. He said, that's what the Father really wants from you. That's what He really, really wants. He wants you to come to Him. I'll give you an example. I told First Service that I'll try not to exaggerate this. I really will try. I told my wife during First Service, if I do exaggerate, just wave at me. And she didn't wave at me, so I'm assuming I really didn't look to check. But I'm assuming she didn't. So with this story, as far as I'm aiming to tell it, is 100% truth. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up early, as I often do. That's kind of my alone time with God, where I go to Him in secret. I wake up about 5:15, and I'm not saying that's the way you have to do it, but that just works best with my schedule and works best for me. I'm kind of a morning person anyway. And typically, I'll wake up and I'll do one of two things. Either one, I'll sit in the house while it's quiet and just have a devotional there, read a lot of scriptures and pray and meditate on some things. But then often, I'll find myself just taking a walk around the neighborhood. You know, in between that hour of 5 and 6, there's not a whole lot of movement or life around the neighborhood. Not any neighbor who wants to stop and chat and say hello. And so you can kind of get quiet time around there. And so I'll typically do something like that too. And while I'm walking, just pray and give thanks, that type of thing. Well, anyway, on this particular morning, I decided that I would go for a walk around the neighborhood. And I'm walking out of my house, and I'm coming down the little sidewalk there that kind of leads to the road to go on the walk. And there's kind of branches that are over that sidewalk that lead to the road, and you kind of have to duck sometimes to get to the road without getting your head all up in the branch. And you don't want that to happen, just ask Absalom. But anyway, with that, my head brushed, that's a spiritual funny joke for those of you. Anyway, his hair got caught in a branch, and they were able to kill him. Anyway, so I was ducking underneath the branch, and when I did, my head kind of touched it, and a bird flew right out at my head. Now, I was thinking, you know, it's early in the morning. The sun really hasn't come up yet. I woke him up. I scared him. And when I did, he flew out. But then I noticed, I turned around, he's flying back at me. I'm thinking, that's really weird. So I start walking a little bit faster. And sure enough, as I walk faster, he's flying faster. And then I start thinking, he's really coming at me. So I start running. And, you know, I'm running, and that's rare. So I'm running, and this bird is flying even faster. And I turn the corner, and the bird turns the corner. And finally, I think, this is not good. I can't run that long. So I decide, instead of running back around the neighborhood, I'll run back to the house. So I run back to the house. The bird is chasing me the whole time. No exaggeration. The bird is chasing me the whole time. I open the door, dive in the house, kick the door back behind me, and I'm safe. All right. So I'm thinking, man, this is just some kind of fluke thing. I honestly thought maybe it's demon possessed. But anyway, I close the door, and I'm sitting there safe and sound, and I'm thinking, I'm not going back out there until someone wakes up where they can witness this. And so my wife finally wakes up. I have my devotional just there in the house. I said, you got to come see this. You are not going to believe what happened to me. And I tell her what I just told you. And she's looking at me like, you're not telling the truth. You know, you're exaggerating. You're evangelistically speaking. I mean, there's no way this bird is attacking you like that. And so I said, get out your phone. And we actually got it on her phone. I showed it to someone in between services. And they said, you ought to put it on the screens. But I was in my pajamas, and I don't want you to think less of me. So anyway, but we actually have footage of this. I'm not exaggerating. I walk back out to the street, and as I'm getting there, as soon as my back is turned to the house, here comes this bird. I mean, flying at me over and over again. I pick up the trash can. I'm lunging it at the bird. I'm using the top of the trash can like a Roman soldier would use a shield. I mean, I'm doing whatever I can to protect myself. Finally, I run back into the house. I'm thinking, see, I told you. And she's laughing hysterically. No mercy. No sympathy. just laughing at me hysterically. So I'm sitting there, and by this time our kids have woken up. I got a 5-year-old girl, a 4-year-old boy, and they're there and they're hearing us talk about the bird. And I just got done teaching on parenting. And let me just say this, this was not a good idea. I don't advise doing this. I wouldn't teach this in parenting, but I had one of those moments where you have this really great idea only to realize it's probably not the best one later on. So anyway, I saw my little girl there, and it's not uncommon for her to go out and get the newspaper. And so the newspaper is there, and I'm thinking in my mind, this is just how I was thinking, I wonder if it's attacking me because it seems like I pose a threat to it. If I send out my little girl, then we'll really know. We'll really know if it's just attacking people or is it just attacking me. And so I open up the door. I said, okay, go get the paper for Daddy. And, you know, she's an animal lover and not overly intimidated by any type of animal, you know, just a kid like that. But I shut the door. And she's walking out to get the newspaper. I notice the whole time she's walking out, she's barking like a dog. I mean, she's walking down the little sidewalk, just barking like a dog. And she picks up the paper, still barking like a dog. I can hear her doing it in the house, walks in and gives me the paper. And we shut the door. I said, what were you barking like a dog for? And she said, I heard you talking about that bird. And I just thought if I bark like a dog, the bird wouldn't attack a dog. I said, you are a genius. You are a genius. So every time I walked out of my house, I'm woo, 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 woo. And this is true. But because literally, I can't tell you how much this was robbing me of my joy. Every time I heard a bird chirp at the outdoor mall, at the house, out here walking around the church, immediately I'm ducking and diving, needing a bomb shelter like it's World War II. Anyway, with this, over the next couple of days, literally every time I would step out of my house, this bird would attack me every single time. No exaggeration. Well, one particular morning, I wake up, and I woke up earlier than normal. I thought, you know, it's dark outside. The bird typically doesn't do this until it's light. And so I'll go outside, take my walk, and by the time I get back in, I'll be fine. It'll still be kind of, you know, dark outside. So anyway, I'm walking outside, and sure enough, nothing. Nothing happens. I'm thinking, this is wonderful. This is a beautiful thing. So about the third lap around the neighborhood, it's a smaller neighborhood, so it's not hard to, you know, make laps. But about the third lap around the neighborhood, the sun starts breaking up. And I see my shadow on the ground. I see the shadow of a tree. And then I see a shadow of this thing going all like this back behind me. And I turn around and I am face to face with this bird. I don't know how I didn't hear him. I didn't have headphones on or anything. And so I start running again. And this is a morning ritual for me. I just assumed it was God helping me lose weight. I mean, I had those thoughts too. And anyway, while I'm doing this, I have an epiphany. And the epiphany that I have is this. I am 200 times the size of this bird. What in the world am I doing running from it? Not only that, but we have a neighbor who actually goes to the church now. And I'm thinking, I just know my neighbors are looking at me, knowing I'm a preacher, and thinking I am just a moron. So anyway, I'm doing this, and I decide to wait until there's enough space between me and the bird. And I decide I'm going to turn around, and instead of running from it, I'm actually going to run at it. And I turn around and just make a sprint right at the bird. And I notice that the bird flew at me just for a second and then turned immediately and went the other way. I thought, isn't that interesting? So now I'm chasing the bird. Well, finally, I run out of breath and decide to walk again. Walk back to the house. And every morning, that's what I did. I'd look for the bird. That'd be the first thing I did. I'd look for the bird and I'd start walking at it. And every time I'd walk at it, it wouldn't bother me. Now the bird is gone. I was told by several people that's probably a mockingbird and has a nest somewhere around there and, you know, is protecting its baby. I just thought it was after my life. But anyway, the secret was running at it, running to it. And in this life, and trust me, I know this from personal experience. I serve the Lord for a living. And so I know if this happens in my life, I know it's bound to happen in yours. That we get so busy running here, running there, running to this, running to that, even a lot of times running to church, running to volunteer opportunities, running to PTA meetings, running to take the kids here, drop them off. You got gymnastics and soccer and laundry and work and business meetings and early morning meetings. And it's so easy to put all of these things above the one thing that is needful. And that's just time alone with the world shut out with our God in prayer. The reason why this is so important and the reward that comes with doing this is a little something called grace. And grace is the quality of life that makes things easy. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest," talking about Jesus, "which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet was without sin." I love this. Notice when you have a weakness, when you have some type of infirmity, something that you're facing in life, God is not repelled by weakness. Instead, He's touched by it. He's drawn to it. Oftentimes when we feel the weakest, even when people have committed sin, and they think, I'm in this sin, I'm in this infirmity, we would think that God would be repelled by that. And it actually says that He has this Savior-type mentality, that He's touched by it. And He is desiring to help us with that weakness. And notice what it says here in verse 16. "Let us therefore," notice, "let us therefore," anytime you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. It's saying, with all of this in mind, with knowing that we have a high priest that instead of being repelled by our weaknesses is actually touched by them, "let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." What do we find? What do we get when we come to the throne? When we come to God in secret, what do we get? What's the reward for that? Jesus said, if you pray to your Father in secret, your Father which sees thee in secret will reward thee openly. What's the reward? The reward is grace. What does grace do? It makes what should be frustrating, what should be hard, what should be taxing, easy. It doesn't, you go through difficult things in this world, you'll face tribulation. You go through those things, and yeah, they are hard things, but they don't seem hard. And yeah, in other people's minds, it's just, wow, how do they do that? Because in their mind, that would be very difficult. But for you, you're just kind of coasting through it. What is that? It's grace. I'll define grace like this to give you an example of it where you can identify it in your life. When grace is in operation in your life, very seldom do people realize it. Because there seems like everything's just clicking. Man, everything's just flowing. Everything's working. It's when grace is not there that you're very mindful of what grace does. When grace is not in operation, it's like, dear me, waking up is a struggle. Dealing with these kids, struggle. Going to work, struggle. Getting creative ideas, struggle. And you realize there's no grace here. But when grace kicks back in, it's like, whoa, man, it's no problem here. And you're getting these ideas and the cell calls are working. And man, everything's just clicking. That's grace. And here's the key. Here's the key. In this life, this natural world, you have reminders when you're getting low. I'll put it to you this way. If you're running low on gas, what happens? You've got a fuel gauge that tells you you're running low. And when you're really low, there's a little alarm that comes on that tells you, hey, only a couple of more miles until empty. And the fuel light lights up and you know, man, I can't keep pushing this car this way without taking the time to go over to the gas station and get some gas. You've got that reminder. Or, you know, if you're running low on food in your house, you got a pantry that reminds you of it. You go to the fridge and you see, we're almost out of food. You go to the pantry, we're almost out of food. If you got kids, they're reminding you, we don't have anything to eat in this house. You want to say, really, anything? We don't have anything to eat. No, we have some. But, you know, they're reminding you that it's something is missing. And so because of that reminder, what do? You take the time to get in the car or walk to a grocery store, a supermarket of some kind. Why? To restock. Because you use what you had. And God is saying, I am the giver of grace. You can't find grace anywhere else. You're not finding it at the department store. You're not going to get it at the grocery. You're not going to get it at a gas station. There's only one place where grace comes from, and that is me. And when you're going through a time of need, and just like I tell my wife, it is not good to wait until the car is 13 miles till empty to fill up on gas. It's something we want to do before then, because you never want to find yourself getting empty. But isn't that almost our human nature, to kind of take something as low as it can go until we refill it? And people do this a lot with grace. You know what your reminder is when grace is running low? Peace and joy are flying out the window. I mean, you're getting aggravated, irritated with all kinds of things, all kinds of people. And it's not that grace is not available. It is. Man, it is. Just like gas is at the store and bread is at the supermarket. But you don't get gas by sitting in your garage and wishing it'd flow to you. You get gas by cranking that puppy up and going to the gas station. It takes some time, not a long time, but it does take some time to stick it in and fill her up. And it takes some time to go to the store and get the bread. But the key is, you're not getting it without going to it. And God is saying, ma'am, everything that you ever need, it's me. I am the source of every good thing in your life. Everything good, it originates from me. And if you want any of it, all you have to do is one thing. Come. Come and fill up. Come and sit in my presence. And a lot of times it doesn't take a long time. A lot of times it doesn't at all. Sometimes it does take a little bit longer than others. You know, just like your car. You know, if you fill up every, you know, quarter tank and you want it always on full, then it's a quick fill up because you're doing it a lot. You're doing it regularly. But if you go a long time without doing it, it takes longer to fill up. And friends, I want to encourage you in your own life to do simple prayer. I know prayer can get complicated. I know, you know, there's prayer of intercession and all these different types of prayers. And when you came in, you got a card with different types of prayers on it. So if you ever get stuck, you have a resource you can glean from. That's what that's for, is, okay, now I've set aside time. What do I pray? And that can help point you in that direction. But I want you to see the goal of Jesus here is just when you pray, do this. Well, do what, Jesus? Just come to me in secret. Come to your Father in secret. Shut out the rest of the world, and for a few minutes, just be with me. Friends, I want to encourage you to do that. Watch the reward of grace come into your life. Watch how much easier it is to cope with things, to cope with change. Watch how much easier it is to live the life that you're living. Friend, I don't care what you're going through. With enough grace, you can get through anything. And God is the giver of that grace. So just take the time to go to the throne, sit at it, and get all that you need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, we come before you today.